That gospel passage is one you might have to read a few times. I could see it on your faces. That what? Wait, what? The structure of this passage is almost sing-song, rhymey. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. The lessons today are for the ascension, which is only spoken of and described quite briefly in the Acts of the Apostles. The gospel, on the other hand, is a continuation from last week and takes place in the upper room, a kind of final address from Jesus to his disciples. For reasons unknown to me, it is sometimes called the high priestly address, which is not really helpful at all when it comes to our understanding. Nonetheless, let's dig in. In the account from the Acts of the Apostles, the disciples ask Jesus, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Because after all they had been through, all they had seen and heard, they were still hoping for that. They were still hoping for a political revolution, freedom from their oppressors. Jesus replied to them, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. Okay. And then Jesus gives them something they were not asking for at all. He tells them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Perhaps they too thought, wait, what? We are to be his witnesses in Samaria? We never go to Samaria. Why would we? And did he say to the ends of the earth? Where exactly does he mean? What was the known world to these men and women who had almost never left Galilee before they met Jesus? The task is both exciting and daunting. As they stood together on the threshold between the past and what Jesus was telling them about their future, they said, how are we supposed to do that? We have no money. We have very little experience. We are not entirely sure what this will entail. Has anyone done a cost-benefit analysis? A few of them thought it would be nicer if Jesus would just fix everything so that the world they lived in would be a better and an easier place. Yes, that would be nice. Perhaps we also wish for that still, that God would just fix the mess that we people have created. These days, in this season, we begin to hear some commencement addresses. Harrison Ford did a moving address at Arizona State University that has gone viral. He spoke briefly of the difference between passion and purpose. In some of these speeches, students standing on the threshold of what they had known and the wide world before them may be instructed to find yourself, follow your dreams, carve out your own path, etc., etc. In comparison, Jesus instructs us to lose ourselves in order to find ourselves. We are to go to the ends of the earth not to find ourselves, but to be his witnesses, witnesses to his love and mercy. When we speak of purpose, of the purpose of life, it is not to look inward and focus on the self. We do enough of that without trying. Instead, we are to look outward, see a problem that summons our life. Frederick Buechner said, vocation is where our greatest joy meets the world's greatest need. Or as David Brooks described in a New York Times op-ed, he He was speaking about success, but here I don't think of it as success in the way the world thinks of it. He said, most successful people do not look inside and then plan a life. They look outside and find a problem which summons their life, a calling. A relative suffers from Alzheimer's, and a young woman feels called to study medicine to help find a cure for that disease. A young man works under a miserable boss and must develop management skills of his own so that his department can function. Another woman is confronted with an opportunity she never thought of or imagined as a career, but finds in this opportunity a place where she can make a contribution. A neighbor across the street is suffering because their husband is in detention. They need everything you can think of. They need food and legal representation. Perhaps that calls to you. Even our ancestor in faith, Arthur Bell, saw this church fallen into disrepair, and it called to him, it summoned him to rebuild it. Just think of the many people who have worshiped here since then. If you lose yourself in making things better, in loving and serving others, ironic as it may sound, this is how you find yourself, your calling, and your greatest joy and fulfillment. And just like the disciples of old, you may say, how are we supposed to do that? And the answer is the same timeless answer given to them. With the help of the Holy Spirit. For you are not alone. You have a spiritual advocate to guide and help you, especially most profoundly in the task that seems impossible, the task you did not expect, the gift, the talent you did not know you possessed. Throughout our lives, we are confronted with times in which we stand on a precipice, the edge of all that has gone before, and find ourselves faced with a new challenge, a new calling, a new reality. It is not what you expected, perhaps not even what you thought you wanted, and yet it is the fulfillment of a dream you have not yet dreamed. As you navigate your life, imagine that we are walking each other home. Ask yourself, how can I be a witness today? Which, if you prefer, is a lot like asking, what is the most loving thing that I can do today? What need in the world is summoning me, is calling me?